with all the things going on in the world that show that Washington is on the wrong side, that Washington is doing the wrong thing, that government politicians and bureaucrats are violating the U.S. Constitution and restricting American freedoms, making Americans more vulnerable. Of all the things, this is what she said in her speech. Palin also said, the Washington insiders who called the 2009 mass shooting at Fort Hood a case of workplace violence. That wasn't Washington insiders that did that. The U.S. Army did that. That was a decision by the U.S. Army to call it an act of workplace violence. I think it was 13 people that Muslim psychiatrist for the Army murdered screaming Allahu Akbar because he didn't want Americans going over to Afghanistan where he thought they would be killing Muslims. So he killed them. Now, the reason that the Army called it an act of workplace violence is because the Army abuses those who devote themselves to it, which is why you should never allow your son or daughter, if you have any influence in their lives, to join the military. Because if it was an act of terrorism, if they were killed as an act of terrorism, it's clearly an act of terrorism. I mean, he killed those men while they were unarmed in their offices in the name of Islam. It's his pure act of terrorism. Now, could it be said that it was a guerrilla tactic, even though they weren't armed, they were army, so therefore as a civilian killing military personnel, then it's a guerrilla tactic. Okay, I'll grant you that. But an act of workplace violence, that's like, saying that it equates to the same thing as occurs in the post office or in this FedEx office where somebody gets disgruntled and brings a gun and starts shooting people for no apparent reason other than they're unhappy. This guy was killing for a religious cause. He's like 99.9% of the terrorists around the world. He's a fundamentalist Muslim. Now, the reason that the Army claimed that it was workplace violence is to abuse the victims, the families of those and those who are alive but are suffering as a result because they're paralyzed or crippled or lost an arm or a leg or whatever that may have happened to them, that is an act of workplace violence. They just are thrown into the Veterans Administration system, which is almost universally inept, and that's it. But if it was an act of terrorism, they receive stipends and benefits that the U.S. government didn't want to pay them. And, of course, the U.S. government doesn't want to have to admit that that acts of terrorism are perpetrated in American soil. That's the reason for it. But Palin just says that by saying it by Washington insiders, and it's not Washington insiders, the U.S. military, that was what they decided to do. Calling it an act of workplace violence, quote, "They don't know what is right. That shooting was carried out by Major Nadel Hassan." Okay. They all know that. He admitted it. In his trial, he represented himself. He says, "I killed them, and I killed them in the name of Allah, and I killed them because of Islam." Then she says, "Not when that evil Muslim terrorist, Major Hassan, massacres his fellow military soldiers at Fort Hood." Well, the fact is, he's a fundamentalist Muslim. He killed them in the name of Islam. If you're going to make that point, great. But she says, that devil, calling that devil, characterizing that devil as a disgruntled employee is hypocritical. Not sure she understands the word hypocritical. And they're not characterizing him as a devil. You are. And he was a disgruntled employee. There's no question that he was a disgruntled employee, and it was because he's a Muslim. It's just stunning how ignorant this woman is, and yet she appeals to a huge cross-section of America. And that's even more troubling still. CNN is reporting, it was a quiet report, that in the a long-ranging interview with Al-Qaeda's leader, that Anwar al or Ayman al-Zawahiri was encouraging, urging Muslims to capture Westerners as pawns that can be used to free prisoners.
Okay.
Something Muslims have done for years. That's Muhammad did that. Muslims do it all the time. You know, it's the kind of thing, one of many things, an attribute of Islam that is reprehensible. That those who are imprisoned for exercising Islam, for being good Muslims, for demonstrating Islam in their lives, are imprisoned because they were terrorists, because they were murderers, because they committed crimes. All good Muslims are criminals. That's just the bottom line here. And according to the Quran, all good Muslims are jihadists and thus terrorists. And so they're in prison because they were perpetrating acts of terror. And so what this religious leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, is saying that other Muslims ought to kidnap innocent people, commit another crime, to trade them for the release of Islamic criminals. It tells you a lot about Islam. Ask what he'd tell Muslims and the Mujahideen. Mujahideen is an Islamic term that speaks of jihadists who fight in Allah's cause, a term used for some Islamic militants. Now, this is CNN's article. No, Mujahideen is not a term that's used for some Islamic militants. All Islamic terrorists are Mujahideen. Individually, they're Mujahid. Plural, they're Mujahideen. They are defined by the Quran. Both jihad and mujahideen are defined by the Quran as fighting in Allah's cause with all available weapons to kill all of those opposed to Islam. And there, he's asking them to fulfill their duty towards their allies, which would be former fellow Muslims, that are in custody. Ayman al-Zawahiri said, I advise them to capture Westerners, and especially the Americans, as much as they can, and to exchange them for our captives. Now, mind you, their captives are not captive for any other reason than as good Muslims, they became jihadists and mujahideen and committed grotesque criminal acts. And he wants good Muslims to go capture innocent people and to use them as trade bait. This is one of many comments on a wide variety of topics that al-Zawahiri touched on in a Q&A session with audio published on the, this says radical, but just fundamentalist, Islamic websites, particularly Hainin. CNN cannot independently verify the authenticity of the recording, though the voice appears to be very similar to previous messages from al-Zawahiri. Does it even matter? What he is saying is the same thing that every good Muslim would say. It is exactly what we have witnessed around the world in the last 1,400 years. The first part of the interview, which was posted online a week ago, al-Zawahiri insisted that al-Qaeda is holding strong and, in fact, expanding. 13 years after the United States launched its war on terror following the September 11, 2001 attacks. The upper hand is for the one who does not withdraw from his land, he said. And by the way, my guess is that al-Zawahiri did not use the term al-Qaeda, that he used, even he would have used the term that fundamentalist Islam, that Islam is growing. Because the statement that he used, and this is now the quote, that he used to explain his position requires him to have said that Islam is prevailing. And that's how he would identify himself. He says, the upper hand is for the one that does not withdraw from his land. Who has withdrawn from Iraq and who has not? Who has withdrawn from Afghanistan and who has not? Well, the fact is that Al-Qaeda didn't have a presence in Iraq prior to America's invasion. And they don't have a presence now because the Islamic State in Iraq is not part of Al-Qaeda per al-Zawahiri's own comments. And they Al-Qaeda did withdraw from Afghanistan. There is no one is fighting. You haven't heard any Al-Qaeda member hunted down and killed in Afghanistan in probably 5 to 7 years. So he's speaking of Islam, of Muslims, when he says the upper hand is for the one who does not withdraw from his land, who has withdrawn from Iraq and who has not, who has withdrawn from Afghanistan and who has not. Yeah. What he recognized is the same thing that I told all who would listen 10 to 13 years ago. That ultimately, the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq would mirror Vietnam, where we would go in, not only lose many American lives, but cause many hundreds of thousands of innocent victims to lose their lives. We would break the country. We would break our own country financially. We would justify the invasion on a pile of lies and prop up corrupt governments, ultimately empowering those that will seek the destruction of America. And in the end, we will simply withdraw, leaving the country even worse than we found it. And in the process, make a bad situation worse. Said all of that 12, 13 years ago. That's what he is capitalizing on now. It's true. You know, the $4 trillion America squandered, the 10,000 lives that America wasted on its invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq have made two bad situations much worse, and we've withdrawn from one, turned it into a hellhole for terrorism, and we're within months of withdrawing from the other. We left them, both countries, broken. We accomplished nothing except to make ourselves more vulnerable, more hated around the world. Al-Zawahiri is acknowledging what should be obvious to Americans. We'll return with Shattering Myths after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm just laughing because I was talking with Aaron during the break, and we were talking about the fact that the NBA is going to announce what it's going to do on Don Sterling at, I think, 2 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. What, about an hour and 45 minutes or so from now? And so as I was reading that, I noticed that Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks, he's the mouse that roared. He came out with a statement that I happen to agree with. He says, listen, the NBA would be much better off without Don Sterling. Yeah, in fact, the world would be better off without Don Sterling. He's really a pretty nasty man. But he says to take away his franchise based upon his private conversations is a slippery slope we ought not go down. And he's right. You know, Don Sterling didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything that's a criminal act. You know, he is a repulsive person. But the reality is that, you know, Don Sterling just hates people. You know, that's really the bottom line of the whole thing, is he hates people. He, in his rant, he's anti-Semitic, he hates Jews. He has exposed animosity for Asians. He, in his rant, condemns Hispanics, and he condemns blacks. I mean, as Aaron said, is my bingo card full? That's where gets you right back to where we started. He's just a nasty old guy that doesn't like people. You know, I don't know what happened in his life that caused him not to like people. But I guess if you date somebody as nasty as he picked to date, that would record you surreptitiously and then provide what you said to the media after you gave them $1.8 million worth of gifts, somebody that would do that to you, and you are exposed to that, I can see why you'd have a, you know, little animosity towards people. Particularly, you know, you'll look at what's the ethnicity of this person who received the $1.8 million worth of gifts from him and then did this to him. No, he did it to himself, so I don't feel sorry for him, but it is easy to see why this old man went off on his rant. Anyway, returning to Ayman al-Zawahiri, who's actually meaningful, Don Sterling is not. The only thing that's important on Don Sterling is how people are reacting to him, not who he is. Al-Zawahiri said that, speaking of Egypt, and he says that the Muslim Brotherhood has all the rights to use force against the injustice that they are facing. Now, they are indeed facing an injustice, the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't side with the Muslim Brotherhood. They're despicable. But they are being forcefully imprisoned. They are they're losing their lives. Their party has been outlawed, and their members have been condemned to death. Now, he does say that blames all of this on, well, let's read his comments. He says that the downfall of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt is the direct result of the participation of the United States and its allies that have accomplished this, working together with secularists and also being aided and abetted by Arab states. He's now showing his opposition to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and others, and also blames it on the Israelis. I'm going to tell you, the Israelis had nothing to do with it, but you know, he wants to make sure that the Israelis stay in the crosshairs of Islamic hate. Let's blame them for everything. It's interesting, though, that on this tape, he mentions Yemen and the good work that fundamentalist Muslims are doing in Yemen, but does not mention the 60, and this will be suspected, al-Qaeda militants that were killed there by the United States a week ago or so ago. And it's because Ayman al-Zawahiri doesn't view the al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula as part of his movement. He and Osama bin Laden despise them. So they're not part of his movement. So it was interesting that he didn't have anything to say about them. I received this email from a fellow named Adam, and I thought I'd share it with you. He says, I'm behind several weeks with your shows. Most people listen to this program by way of the archives, by the way. So I'm not sure if you discussed this concept. But he says, but beyond the obvious rhetoric of Washington, isn't it clear that Washington is attempting to bait Russia into the very act that they are being accused of? Even if you are blind, the implication of war with Russia is absolute madness. Truth has become the first victim. There was a story that I covered 2 weeks ago with Aiku al-Rasuli about young Christian women facing a greater risk of being kidnapped by Islamic extremists, being tortured, and even being forced to convert to Islam as a result of what's called the Arab Spring. And I'd like to share that whole story with you, and that I only covered portions of it in our discussions with IQ. The reality is that the Arab Spring that was initiated by This Is Your Time, this is the time for a new beginning in Islam speech that Barack Hussein Obama delivered in Cairo at the birthplace of the Muslim Brotherhood, that it brought forth a series of events that have made life almost unbearable for Christians in any Islamic country. For example, in Iraq, they've been decimated. 95% of the Christians in Iraq have been killed. And in Egypt, the same thing is occurring. And what's interesting is that the death rate and the abuse, the kidnapping, rape, murder, torture of Christian women in Egypt is worse now under the Sisi military junta than it even was under the Muslim Brotherhood. This article says the year already has seen a spike in the incidences of kidnap and rape, according to a report by the nonprofit advocacy group International Christian Concern. It has been estimated by the ICC and other watchdog groups in the region that there have been 500 reported cases of young women being attacked by Muslim men since 2011. But most cases go unreported, so the actual number is a great deal larger. Now, the reason that the vast preponderance, and it's probably 95% of the cases go unreported, is because of the fact that in an Islamic country, if a woman is raped, if a woman is kidnapped, if a woman is sexually abused by a Muslim man, it is the woman that goes to prison. I kid you not. That's exactly the way that Muhammad instigated it. If they were to report those cases, rather than seeing justice and the rapist found and prosecuted, the rapist is universally exonerated and the victim of rape is universally punished, sometimes with her own family members killing her, but at other times receiving lashes to the point of almost death, death by stoning, or lifetime imprisonment. Now, in Egypt, we know when polls are taken that 99% of Egyptian women have been sexually abused. So the number is not 500. It's probably 10 to 50 times that. The girls are often assaulted, raped, kidnapped, and forced to change their faith and sometimes killed, the ICC said. Making matters worse, nothing is being done by the authorities to prevent it in the provinces across Egypt, according to officials from both the ICC and the Clarion Project, a U.S.-based nonprofit think tank and advocacy group. It's one of the things that just bothers me. It really bugs me about socialist secular humanists, particularly feminists and women's liberation advocates. I got no issue with women in the workplace, women making the same amount of money as a man makes for the same job. And if you want your girls to go and play sports, that is just fine with me. I don't care. I try to be as blind to gender as I am blind to skin color. Don't care. I do care about ideals and I care about hypocrisy. And for those who advocate on behalf of women's liberation and women's causes, to be absolutely silent on the abuse of well over 100 million girls around the world who are sexually abused in the name of Islam. 100 million around the world who are sexually abused in the name of Islam is just repulsive. Women's advocates lose all credibility for not standing up on this issue. That's just the bottom line. So I have zero respect for them. And it's stunningly annoying. This is pure hypocrisy in that case. Quote, not only are they turning a blind eye, they are often compliant. That's the nature of Islam. It's not just that they are allowing Christian women to be kidnapped, to be raped, to be tortured, to be killed. They are complicit. They want it to happen. They're aiding and abetting it. Isaac Six, a spokesperson for the ICC, told Fox News, citing one incident in which a father was assaulted by a police officer for asking too many questions about efforts to find his abducted daughter. So when a father says, my daughter has been kidnapped by Muslims, and he goes to the police and says, you got to help me find my daughter. She's been kidnapped. The Muslims at the police department beat the father. That's why Islam is so corrosive. It's why it's so uncivilized. It's why it ought not be tolerated. It's pervasive. Local police and at the local level are not stopping the abductions. In fact, they're stopping those who are trying to stop the abductions. There needs to be more pressure from the top, he added. We have seen cases before, and we've seen victims returned when the police put pressure on the kidnappers. We know it's possible, but unfortunately, the police are usually complacent in the crime, participating in the crime, aiding and abetting kidnapping and rape. Six added that the problem is, this is now Isaac Six, added that the problem is largely ignored by the international community, and that the U.S. needs to be more vocal about this issue in its dialogue with the Egyptian government. Yes, stop sending the Egyptian government Apache attack helicopters. Stop sending them A-1 Abrams tanks. Stop sending them $3 billion a year to oppress their own people when they allow this kind of thing. You know, rather than call Egypt an apartheid state, which is untrue, why not call Egypt a sexist state where women are kidnapped, raped, tortured, and killed with the police complicit in the acts? Why don't we just be honest for a change? Why don't we try being moral for a change? One reported incident occurred in the city of Luxor as recently as February when a 15-year-old Amira Hafez Wahib attended a morning prayer service at a local church. According to the study from the ICC, Amira had asked her mother if she could go to the back portion of the church to buy an item in the local store. Her mother let her go, but urged her to hurry back. But Armina never returned and is still missing. The next day, Armina's family went to the local police to report that she had vanished. Quote, "We received promises from the police that here that they would arrest and accuse and the accused and return Armina to her family. But there has not been any positive step from them till now." Rafla Zeri Rafda, an attorney handling the case, was quoted saying, "The girl's family believes that they know who the kidnapper is. It's a Muslim man named Yashir Muhammad, a soldier in the Egyptian army, who was at one time assigned to protect their church." Mahoud had tried to abduct Amira a few months previously at the same church store where she had worked. They even know who it is. They won't do a thing. The family immediately tracked down where the man lived with his family. Relative told Armina's parents that they had not heard or seen Mahoud since the day that their daughter disappeared. Another recent incident took place on March 9th when a young girl was abducted in front of her school. The family went to the local police for help locating her. A few days later, the father was returning home when he was approached by two masked men on a motorcycle. He was stopped by the pair, who attempted to convince him to give up the search for his daughter. He was told, "Just forget her," and had his own life threatened. The two men said that they would also abduct his other daughters if he continued the search. It's pervasive. Islam is responsible. If you do not hate Islam, then you are not capable of being moral. Things got worse for the family, whose identities have not been made public due to safety concerns, when the father went to the civil status authority to get a copy of her birth certificate, only discovered that her name had been changed and her religion had been changed to Islam. Experts point out that the rise in the abuse against young Christian women is likely due to societal misogyny and Islamic indoctrination. Yeah, well, it's due to Islamic indoctrination, the nature of Islam. There are a lot of reasons that Muhammad prevailed in perpetuating what is the dumbest book ever written, the Quran, and the savage nature of Islam. And much of it is because as a reward for men acting violently in as jihadists, Muhammad created a religion where they have total and complete control over women. They can kidnap them, they can beat them, they can rape them, they can abuse them in any way they want without any repercussions to the men. And unfortunately, there is a wide cross-section of men who like that position, who find that position somehow positive. I think it's repulsive. I think if you want to judge the character of a people, look how they treat children, look how they treat women. That's why I despise the Roman Catholic Church. That's why I despise Islam. In large part, there's other reasons, of course. But the treatment of women, the treatment of children, in Islam is horrendous because that is how Muhammad conceived his religion. And it was all done to encourage violent men to support him. This last quote. There's a huge conflict between the Islamist and Christian populations in Egypt right now. Ryan Maruro, a national security analyst with the Clarion Project, said to Fox News. That's so inappropriate to say. There's not a huge conflict between the Islamists and Christians. It's not a tit for tat. This isn't they both have issues. The problem is Islam. It has always been. Speaking of the lovely Islamic country of Egypt, an Egyptian militant group now called Ajnad Misur claimed responsibility on Saturday for a blast that killed a police officer in Cairo. The bomb exploded in Cairo's Lebanon Square. The Soldiers for Egypt is what the name means. It's interesting that Misur is the Arabic term for Egypt. It is based upon Hebrew. Now, as I say, everything in that claims to be Arabic is actually Hebrew. Misur is the and in the plural Mitzrim is the Hebrew word for Egypt. And so they've adopted the Hebrew word for their country. It's interesting, too, that they don't know what it means. Mitzur and Mitzraim means the crucible. It speaks of the crucible of human religious, political, military oppression and the crucible of divine judgment that is awaiting Mitzraim for their despicable action. So it is the soldiers of Egypt, of the crucible, said in a statement on Islamic website that its militants had monitored a police checkpoint square and that they detonated the bomb. Now, Islamic militants, jihadists, good Muslims, have stepped up their attacks on members of the security forces, killing hundreds since the toppled, freely elected president Mohamed Morsi, the only freely elected president, and he was voted in by a two-thirds majority. Zawahiri, of course, as we know, gave his blessing for this kind of activity. That does not make, however, this group linked to Al-Qaeda. In fact, even say that Al-Qaeda is not believed to be linked to Ajnad Misur, M-I-S-R, from a shortened of Mitzir. That they're not linked. No, it's just true that actually Al-Qaeda is a derivative of the Muslim Brotherhood. Azam, Professor Azam, from the Muslim Brotherhood is the actual founder of Al-Qaeda. The Department of Justice identified last week that an American serviceman who died in Afghanistan represented the 2,302nd American service member to die there. His name was Kerry M.G. Danilunk. He was an Army specialist from Kuro, Texas, in the 10th Mountain Division. His life was sacrificed for nothing. And I'm sorry to his parents, but that's just the reality. What we have done in Afghanistan is to make a bad situation worse. Of course, that number now is greater because we had a helicopter crash killing NATO troops. Another item in the news. Union leaders in Detroit want $100 million in federal funding that was earmarked for homeowner assistance to offset the $3.5 billion shortfall in the retirement system for city workers. Now, the reason that Detroit is bankrupt, the sole reason that Detroit is bankrupt. It's because of pensions for city workers. That's the reason that California's future is dismal. Politicians granted way too liberal a retirement program, pensions, to underworked, overpaid employees, public employees. And when now that they're retiring and their retirement benefits are such a huge percentage of what they earned when they were not working, by not working even more, they're bankrupting cities. They're bankrupting states. And so what they want is they want their pension to be paid by taxpayers. Now, they bankrupt the city, and rather than suffer the consequence of their actions, they want the U.S. government to step in and pay them. And they want to take the money from a program funding homeowner assistance. That's how unscrupulous they are, how disgusting they are. Officials familiar with the discussion told the Wall Street Journal that the Detroit emergency manager, Kevin Orr, could use the unspent funding earmarked for blight elimination to help reduce the pension cuts for city employees. The Obama administration previously announced nearly $300 million in federal and private funding for Detroit, largely drawn from existing resources. The city filed for bankruptcy last July, citing $18 billion in unmanageable long-term liabilities. You know what a long-term liability is? It's the pensions. That's what we're talking about here. And so it's these pensions that bankrupt Detroit. It's the same Medicare and Social Security long-term unfunded obligations that are bankrupting America. And they want to be bailed out for their own malfeasance. That would be stupid.